resurrection and gift of new life in him. We will together celebrate our young candidates as they make their confession of faith and then are baptized into the water of holy baptism, sacrament of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will together celebrate and hold sacred our worship and adoration of God, and Jesus is the one who invites you all to be here in this holy space, because he is here and he is risen. Welcome. There are a few things I will say to you. We will have a procession that will come down, and when they do, if you have palms, if you don't, that's fine, but they're going to wave palms because it is Palm Sunday. We're going to sing a song on an insert called The Palms. I don't know it, but they will help us be able to sing it. So when they are coming down, then you may stand up and we will sing this together. After that, I will go over here and we will sing Down to the River to Pray as our candidates come in for holy baptism. So you will have two sides. And I'm going to throw one more thing in there. I'm going to have you turn to 396 when I get over there. You can do it now if you want to put a little space in there. Because you're going to say to these young people that you will walk the rest of their lives with them in faith. And it is a promise that you will make to them. So I'll break it down for us. We're gonna do the palm song first. And then when that is done, then I will go over here, and I'm going to have you continue to stand. I'll say a few words, and then they will come in, and we will sing Down to the River to Pray. Okay? Clear as mud. Don't worry. No mistakes in God's house, right? All right. Let us begin then. And will you stand?
Sing every
or sit right along in here so that they can see a little better. And we're going to sing it in order for them to come in down to the river to pray. It's only two verses.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Seated. Gracious, loving people of God, let us pray together to our Lord of life. Would you bow your hearts before your Lord? Creator Spirit, who in the beginning hovered over the waters, who at Jesus' baptism descended in the form of a dove, who at Pentecost was poured out under the signs of fire and wind, come, precious Lord, open our hearts and minds so that we may hear the life-giving word and be renewed by your power in the unity of the Father and of the Son and of your Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. We come now to a time of promise from each one of you, that you will turn away from that which is evil, those things that would cause harm to you and to others. So listen well to my question. Do each of you here before our God and our congregation promise to turn away from evil, repent of your sins, turning back to Christ? If so, please repeat what I say. I will, with the help of Jesus. Now, coming before God in this congregation today, will you each give your confession of faith? If so, please repeat what I say. I will, with the help of Jesus. Hear now and repeat after me, if it is so for you, the confession of faith. I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and accept and proclaim him as my personal Lord and Savior, and as Lord and Savior of the world. To prepare us to step into the waters of baptism, to die to brokenness within us, and to rise with Jesus Christ in new life. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Hear the Gospel of Luke in the third chapter. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying, "Heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. And later in the Gospel of John, we read, "Then John gave this testimony, 'And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" Blessed ones, Jesus is here to baptize you with Holy Spirit, not just water. And I close with Galatians. "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. All of you are one in Christ." Today, we joyously receive the new disciples into Christ's one holy and apostolic universal church. Through baptism into Christ, we gain a new identity as sons and daughters of God and receive a new life purpose of Christ-like ministry in word and deed. Audrey, Daniel, Devin, Jenna, Jesse, Sonny are baptized, and let us remember our own baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you will, you've already turned to page 369. We're not going to read it just yet, but you might have it ready because we're going into the baptismal waters. Can you see? Yeah, they'll be up here. Audrey? Their mentors are helping them into the waters of baptism and will continue to walk with them all of their lives. It is right and proper. You ready? Okay. "By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You rise with the Holy Spirit deep within your spirit. Go and serve and know you are well loved. Daniel. "By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Here we go. Down and up. The Holy Spirit rests in your soul, deep within you. Go and serve and know you're well loved. Devin. Okay. Here. All right. I'm going to put that right here. Okay. Are you ready? "By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit lives deep within your soul. Go now and serve and know you're well loved. Jenna. You ready? By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives deep within your soul. Go and serve and know that you're well loved. Jesse? By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives deep within your soul. Go now and serve and know you're well loved. Sunny. You ready? Okay. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives deep within your soul. Go and serve and know you're well loved. You may go back and sit with your parents if you like, or you can stay there. When they come back out, we will give our promise to them on page 369. Would you pray with me, please? Precious Lord, we give you thanks. You are our sacred parent, sacred of all the faithful. For these your children and for the grace known here today in water and the Holy Spirit, embrace us all as daughters and sons in the one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend these new members, Audrey, Daniel, Devin, Jenna, Jesse, and Sunny, new members of the body of Christ. It is in devotion, humbleness, love, and gratitude that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like I've been baptized. What a privilege and an honor it is to be a part of this sacrament of the church. We're not going to have announcements today, except I want to tell you the opportunities, the missions, the things that we are doing this week for Holy Week. Maundy Thursday worship begins at 7 p.m. on this Thursday, March 24th. And following that worship and Holy Communion celebration, there will be a labyrinth for a prayer walk set up over here. And John and Debbie Saxon will lead us through that if you choose to do that part. You may choose to do that, or you may go for foot washing, and or you may go for foot washing or hand washing, and I will do that in that room over there. So those are some opportunities and some sacred moments that you can share on Thursday evening. Following that, we will continue to walk to the cross with Christ on Friday, March 25th at noon, with a Spirit-led, Spirit-fed Good Friday worship. And that will be not a long worship, but it will be a worship nonetheless. If you want to stay and have me pray over you, pray with you, or you just want to sit and have some meditation time, you can do that. You can stay as long as you like. Then, as resurrection people, we will celebrate Jesus risen indeed, and we will claim our newness of life next Sunday, March 27th, which is Easter Sunday. There will be a sunrise Easter worship from 8 to 9. There will be a breakfast that will follow, and then at 10:30, there will be an Easter worship also. There will be a celebration reception for our newly baptized, and we would just so enjoy your being there. It's very important to support them in lots of ways, but also to support this very mature and very sacred promise before God and all of you. So we want to show them the support for that. It wasn't easy for them to do this. This is not an easy thing to do, but they have they've done this. They've committed to it. So please, if you can just stop by even for 5 minutes, and just give them a pat on the back and ask blessings or give blessings to them. And so that's the end of our announcements. If you will now look in your bulletin, I know we're out of sync, we're going to pray our call to worship. So if you will stand, Austin will lead us.
Awake to the day of triumph for our Savior.
Give thanks for this day that leads to the cross.
Come with your branches, hosannas, and songs. Fill the air with welcome to the Lord.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Now let us greet one another.
Sometimes I'm long in prayers and long in prayers.
sign the attendance pad in your row and pass it down the pew. And it is time for the Word of God. Today we will be reading John 13, verses 1 through 11, not 17 like the bulletin indicates. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but it will be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." "Master," said Peter, "not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." Jesus said, "If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you." He knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you." After he had finished washing their feet, he took his robe, put it back on, and went back to his place at the table.
That was the Message translation. When I write sermons, I write from NRSV, and then sometimes we read from a different translation for a better understanding. We come now to this joy-filled day that will lead us to a grieving time and then the resurrection of our Lord. Experience it if we allow ourselves the spiritual and the emotions of it that will touch us and heal us and then give us grand joy in this week. Do not be afraid, is what our Lord says. We prepare ourselves now to talk to our Lord about ourselves and others. We share our joys so that they might be multiplied, and we share our concerns and worries and sorrows among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they may be divided and the heavy burden lightened. I share with you a few that I've already been given. Parrish is fighting even harder. He had a little setback yesterday. I went up to stay with him for a while. He is stable, so far as I know. Haven't heard anything different this morning. And he is a fighter. He is a fighter, and he has a wonderful medical team that have grown to love him very, very much because he's been there now over 50 days, almost 2 months. So I just ask that you continue to hold him in your prayers, and the doctors and nurses also as they make their decisions about his treatment, about his care, and also just that God would send messengers to Lori to provide support and stamina in this time of waiting. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, "O Lord, hear our prayers." We give praise for Jim Marietta's stepdad, Richard Layton, who is recovering from a slight heart attack and having a stent procedure earlier this week. He's doing well so far as we know. And we lift Richard and Jim and family up in our prayers, and we pray, "O Lord, hear our prayers." Let us continue to hold in prayer for best well-being, Reverend Fair. We pray, "O Lord, hear our prayers." Let us pray a praise for Christy Huffman for her grand achievement of health in her climbing all the flights that she could get in for 33 minutes, which was 48. So we just lift her up to the Lord for inspiration, for health of body, mind, and spirit. And we pray, "O Lord, hear our praise." Let us lift up Kathy Harder, sister of Terry Widener, for joy, hope, and tender care. We pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Praise God that Martha Hinkle is back among us, back home, returned to us, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Praise God that Sam Wheeler is back here. She is here among us and well enough to be here after her hip surgery, and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. Let us continue to keep Jack Scott in our prayers and Shirley Scott in our prayers as they continue on their rehab of their particular illnesses and disorders. And we lift them up to the Lord. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. And please pray for our homebound folks that cannot gather with us. Even if they are in a place that would have worship of God, it doesn't mean that it's like a place they've come to for 50 or 60 years. So we just lift them up this season of Holy Easter, and they how much they would have loved to have seen the youth baptized this morning. And so we, yes, amen is right. And we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. And are there any others that have snuck back in that I haven't seen that have been away that you were sick and now you're back? Or you had some reason for that you couldn't get here? Okay. Are there any others that you would like to lift up? Yes, Brandon. Okay, Becky, yeah, we prayed for her before about her shoulder. She's going back to the doctor for next week. Probably will have an extensive surgery. And so we lift her up to the Lord. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Brandon. Anyone else? All right, let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Precious and holy Lord, we come from east and west and north and south, from different places, different ways, and different backgrounds. And yet, here we are together, gathered in your holy name, coming to praise and adore you, giving you glory for all that is good and honest and kind and compassionate and loving in this world. The God who sees each one, how well you know our hearts, and still you love us. You will love us to the end and forever. We sometimes deny you, Spirit of Counsel, and we have denied our calling to serve as you would have us serve one another. Forgive us, O Lord, we pray. Pour out your Spirit of grace upon us. Teach us to love and serve you faithfully, and to love and serve one another in your way, Yahweh, by the example that you have set for us. We pray for others as we remember our Savior who comes to us humbly, riding a donkey and proclaiming a message of peace. Let us pray for the church, for the earth and all creation, and for people in want, saying in hope, God of mercy, hear our prayer. That Christians here and there, everywhere, hear and share the word of God as true disciples. God of mercy, hear our prayer. May all ends of the world receive the words of the Prince of Peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. That all leaders of church, of state, of world choose humble service over empty power. God of mercy, hear our prayer. That all people live with gratitude for the gifts of nourishment, friendship, family, trust, patience, and hope, with the courage and wisdom to change whatever fails to be life-giving. God of mercy, hear our prayer. That those who see the cross revealed in their lives draw strength from the name that is above every other name. God of mercy, hear our prayers. And may we live with gratitude for our ancestors whose faith and witness have nourished our own. God of mercy, bless us with knowing how to live in and from this gratitude. Now we pray as sons and daughters through the gentle obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let our hosannas to the one who brings freedom take form in our tithes and offerings, and may these gifts proclaim God's desire and will for God's purpose.
Father, thank you for these gifts and help us to use them to glorify your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
That were baptized this morning, I'd like for you to come up and line up right here in front. I know it will be quite easy for you to do that. And you're going to help, and we're going to say this promise to them. It's on page 369 in your hymnal. 369. Audrey, Daniel, Devin, Jenna, Jesse, Sonny have risen from the waters of baptism to newness of life. They have become one with the witnesses of God from all times and places. Through baptism, God promises them the gift of the Holy Spirit to nurture them in all the days of their lives. Let us add our blessing and pledge our love as we welcome them into this living community of faith. Now, will you join me in singing or saying this in unison? We're not singing it, no. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ Church. We praise God for the gifts of ministry that you bring into this community. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Would you applaud them, please? You can sit in.
Be thou my vision.
Thank you for the beauty of that God-given gift. We thank you for the gift of it to us. Would you pray with me, please? Blessed Father, Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit, be with us now. May your words, God, be in these words. May the message be your message. May my ego step away. May your people be filled with spirit and hear only your voice. And may they be changed. May they know they are well loved by you and that it is you that calls them here. It is in the sweet name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Take a big deep breath. Sit back. Relax. Leave all that is out there. We're going to spend a little time. For those of you that are guests, I only preach about 50, 60 minutes. It's short. Excuse me, a guest said, I need your assistance. The servant regarded his questioner with some suspicion. He had the lowliest of duties, and people many times avoided even eye contact with him. It was even more rare that people would speak to him, and if they did, it was mostly something that was going to be trouble. This guest, however, seemed, well, somehow different. His voice was pleasant. His eyes were kind. His way calmed the servant, who then stopped shifting nervously. I want to show them something, the stranger said, but I'll need to borrow your equipment, as he reached down next to the servant to pick up the basin and the towel. The servant was confused. Forgive me, sir, but I'll need those shortly because the feet of the guests must be washed. Yes, I know, said the guest. That's what I intend to do. But, sir, you can't do that. Now he was nervous again and almost fearful. The guest's face registered genuine concern. I hadn't thought of that, he said. It must take quite a bit of practice to do this correctly. Well, mumbled the servant, actually, there is something of a knack to it. He was starting to warm up to this guest who had taken an interest in his work. A lot of people don't appreciate everything that goes into being a servant. Doing a good foot washing is really an art. When you do it right, you make people feel good about themselves. You can see it on their faces. They sit up a little taller. They seem a little more relaxed. When you wash their feet, you really make them feel welcome. Then you enjoy your work, the stranger asked and smiled. No way, the servant blurted out. You wouldn't believe the things I put up with around here. The servant leaned in to quietly confide with the guest. Mister, there are so many things that go on in a servant's day of work. First, smelly feet. It can knock you right over. Then there are folks that have a bad attitude. Why, they try to have as little to do with me as possible, thinking I'm beneath them. And there seems to be a real fear that others will think if they look you in the eye, that they are on the servant's level, feeling real shame about that. But who can blame them? Who would want to be a servant if they didn't have to? On the other hand, he continued thoughtfully, they're really missing out on some things. What might those be? The guest asked. Well, you see, when you wash someone's feet, they almost have to look right at you. And for a moment in time, they know that you know about all their warts and calluses, but that you're willing to hold their feet anyway. And then you have a chance to treat some of their cuts and bruises that life has given them. That's why you need to know what you're doing. When you're around people's tender spots, you can either help heal them or really hurt them even more. They're vulnerable then, and they know it. That's why most are pretty uncomfortable at first. But a good servant knows how to put them at ease, how to use the skill he has right then to renew them. It can go either way, you know. That's why when people get this attitude towards you that makes you feel like a non-person, you don't want to serve them anymore. But you do. Because it's not their attitude that matters, but yours. And 9 out of 10 times, if you do it right, you can make a difference in their attitude, maybe even in their lives. The servant then lowered his eyes like he was apologizing for an act of something he'd said he shouldn't have to a guest. Hey, I didn't mean to go on and on. I know that you were just looking to borrow the bowl and towel. The man, the guest, smiled back at him. No, you've been very helpful. But please, do one more favor for me, if you would. Well, sure, but I don't think I've done anything for you yet. Oh, but you did. You see, I tell people why to serve. You tell them how. Now, please, would you allow me the honor of washing your feet? And Jesus knelt before him. This is what the prophets communicated when they spoke the word of God, saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, we read in Isaiah 55. So we should expect the unexpected from God Almighty, for God knows what we need and better ways to access them. This was certainly evident in the events of Holy Week. It starts out with a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus seems to fully claim all the expectations of a celebrated Messiah. His followers must have felt he's finally declaring himself, now we can take over. But by the end of the week, triumph turned to despair. The bringer of good news, the king, was arrested and facing crucifixion like a criminal. Today is Palm Sunday, when we remember how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Usually kings and army generals and really important people would come in on beautiful horses and they'd have grand parades and important people would be there. But not Jesus. God is just full of surprises. Kings were usually warriors, and they were about power and might and challenging. Jesus came in humbleness. His power and might was greater, but it seemed not so. Our scripture for this morning invites the disciples of Jesus in every age to have a meal, to gather for a meal, to have your feet washed, love one another, bid farewell to a dear friend suffering through his death, and grieve your own loss. This text, which comes to its finish with Peter's shame about Jesus' servanthood, begins with a meal. Jesus is at the table with the disciples, and they are dipping pita bread into bowls of savory hummus. Can't you just see it? Smacking their lips, probably, and licking their fingers. Can you see it? Conversation fills the room, and sometimes overwhelmed with bursts of laughter, oil lamps flickering, their light reflected in the shining eyes of the disciples. And while all of this is going on, Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Not uncommon for the time for a servant, but never the teacher, their Lord, never. Can you picture yourself in this scene? Jesus moving from one to another and stops before you, right here in this sanctuary, kneels right before you, takes your shoe off, takes your sock off, puts your foot in the water, and begins to wash your feet. Would you allow him? Peter said, "No, no, no, Lord, no." But Jesus was persistent and allowed him to do it. Would you? Could you look him in the eye? Would you look away? Would you be embarrassed? Would you feel humbled by this? If you've never had your feet washed by someone else, it is quite humbling and quite precious. Now hear him ask, "Do you know what I've done to you?" The disciples of the time evidently didn't, or they were too dumbfounded to speak. They were speechless. Jesus says, "I have set you an example. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." In our story, Jesus, on one level, uses this action as symbolic, in which he removes the outer robe of his glory, wraps around himself a towel of human flesh, suffers and dies for the sake of the world, for the sake of you and I. He reclothes himself with glory and resumes his rightful place as the heart of God's heaven. On another level, though, this action is personal. It's pastoral. The disciples and you and I have to have our feet washed. That evening, no one else volunteered to do it. In the other Gospels, they're all arguing about who's the best, who's the greatest. I get to sit next to Jesus. No, 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 let me sit next to Jesus. And Jesus could have been so angry. He could have just blown up. But he did something that was so powerful. This is a powerful scene. It is a powerful one then and still. The stage is set with verses 1-3 for Jesus to act in a dazzling way. Will he command his disciples to bow in adoration as he is taken up into his glory? No. It is the unexpected of God. Jesus rose from the table, took off his robe of glory, and knelt down as a servant. One meaning of this act before his disciples, some say, is the church. Knelt down, receiving our identity and character in the self-giving act of the servant Jesus. The church exists by the cleansing act of Jesus. You might call it a baptism of the church. Peter did not want his Lord and Savior to wash his feet, and sometimes the church doesn't want him to do that either. The second interpretation is seeing Jesus act as a model of humility and service, and that the church must imitate. As the cosmos turns on its hinges, the incarnate Word, Jesus, who was with God in the beginning, stoops to love us to the bitter, sweet end. For those whom the Father have entrusted to him, the world, you and I. If love is the way God acts towards the world and the way Jesus acts towards his disciples, then love means telling the truth, being faithful to one's witness, and caring for others, even to the point of ultimate sacrifice. It is a shattering moment of blessing. Jesus tells us, "For I have set you an example." that you also should do as I have done. And this is the most important if you don't remember anything else. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest heaven. This is the table that Christ invites you to share in a meal that is his. It is so sacred that we should bow deep in our spirit and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness and be changed. He who has suffered for each one of us is now present in this bread of life. He whose body was hung on the cross for all is now offered to us in the cup of mercy. So come, not because I invite you, but because it is our Lord. It is his will for you to be part of him in receiving the bread and cup. So let's prepare our hearts and our souls and our minds by singing hymn number 254, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Father, hear our prayers. On this Palm Sunday, we hail once again the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. In the breaking of the bread, we commemorate the joy of seeming triumph, which only a few days later ended in despair, then turned to the victory over death. We thank you for sacrificing your life for our sins so that we might live. We're thankful that because you have died and rose again, we can have assurance that one day we'll be with you in a place where no more death. Because Christ is alive, we too shall live. In your everlasting name we pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day, for the beginning of spring, which allows us to witness the rebirth of this earth that you created. We ask, Lord, that you be with us as we partake of these elements. We ask that when we partake of the bread, that you bless us with forgiveness of sin and let our sins be washed away. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen.
On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. He took the bread, he gave thanks for it, and he broke it, giving it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. Now, before we sing ourselves out of this place of sanctuary into the world, we will sing together, and I ask then that you allow me to bless you, and when you go from this place, may you know that you've been in the presence of God. And so if you'll stand, we're going to sing hymn number 192, verses 1 and 3. If you will bow your heads, I ask that you allow me to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you seek the same mind as Christ Jesus our Lord as you leave this place. Looking not on outer appearances, whether they are humble or grand. May the mind of Christ that resides in each one be your path and your guide. May the Holy Spirit be a known constant companion. May you be blessed as you do like Christ. Go in peace, beloved of God. Know you are well loved and looked upon with favor by our precious Lord. Amen.